Blog Talk Radio.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com.
Everybody, and welcome to Keep It Magic. Of course, it is Tuesday. It's currently 4 o'clock here on the East Coast. It is 1 p.m. on the West Coast and every single hour in between. Pick up the phone and give us a call. The number is 760-539-3235. Again, that's 760-539-3235. Of course, check out our sponsor at www.coventrycreations.com. Again, that's www.coventrycreations.com. You can also find the wonderfully talented and gifted Jackie Smith over at coventrycreations.com. To reach me off of the air, of course, go to psychicfriendsnow.com, and of course become a fan of our show by going to Facebook / Keepin' It Magic. That's without a G, Keepin' It Magic. We were at some kind of convention where we thought that up, I don't know. But Keepin' It Magic, so check that out. To follow us on Twitter, of course, it is at Keep It Magic on Twitter, so make sure that you follow us up over on Twitter. Jackie, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. I'm recovering. You know, actually, not really recovering. I'm just moving back into work mode. I'm recovering from the expectations of what the holidays should be. That's what I'm recovering from.
Now, why are you recovering from the expectations?
Oh, you know, actually, I have a little theory. Neither one of us are Christian,
yeah.
But yet Christmas is the only federal holiday that is religious in origin. And there is a huge pressure, cultural pressure, on everyone to make this the most wonderful day of the year. I mean, there's even a song about it. And if you don't live up to that expectation for yourself or for other people, I mean, really, it's crazy time. People just feel it should be perfect.
Yeah, I agree with you. And what I love the most is that if you went on to any of the social network platforms on the 24th and the 25th, it was, oh, everybody, let's love everybody and forgive everybody and be happy with everybody and be fruitful and multiply and spend time with people that we love. Forgive them, you know, because they don't know the errors of their ways. And if they are really that bad, they're going to be visited by three ghosts tonight anyways. And then on the 26th, it's just like, oh, this person is this, that person is that. What a crappy day it is. What a... You know, I went to the mall and it was packed. And can you believe
what Uncle Ed did yesterday? And blah blah blah. And
yeah. It's just like it reminds me very, very strangely, but it reminds me of this big, gigantic, huge collective. You know, go out and cheat on your wife on Friday night, and then go and confess it on Saturday,
Sunday, or depending Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
You're Jewish, so it's not a confession for you, is it?
No.
Confession is a Catholic thing.
Yeah, we don't believe in sin.
No, I guess like confession is Saturday. You go to church on Sunday. You're right. Yeah, I'm staying corrected.
So, you know, I just find it very interesting that, you know, that has been going on and people are looking at things from that perspective. If you're listening to the show and you're not in the chat room, please cruise on over to the chat room. Because of the holidays, we're kind of a little bit light in the chat room. But, you know, if you want to talk to us, you can come into the chat room, of course. Now, Jackie, did you do anything interesting on Christmas at all?
I crafted. I knew my parents were not in town, and so a few of us got together Christmas Eve, and because my family is still Christian, so they all like to celebrate the hoo-ha, and I was off the hook. Her whole family was off the hook on Sunday, so we all did exactly we wanted to, and for me, it was creating for no purpose at all but to create. And I was in heaven. I made little refrigerator magnets. You'll be getting some in the mail.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of ridiculous, but I had so much fun. It was crafting therapy. It was beautiful. And a friend of mine hit me up online because I was I'm working on this project with another friend who does not celebrate Christmas either, so because she's not Christian. And so we're kind of going back and forth on a little project, because it was one of the only times we had to do this. Then another friend found me online, and so she was asking me what I got for the holidays. What did I get for Christmas? Because she was telling me her big score. And I said, nothing. I don't worry about that anymore. I don't want anyone to... I mean, in my family, it was the, here's your present. Here's your tin of cookies. You know, I'm from a family of nine, so my father who's taken over the gift giving from the parental side, he does mass gift giving, so everybody gets the electric gravy boat. And although this year was kind of a score because it was locally handmade scones.
Oh, interesting.
And those
so everybody gets these scones?
Everybody got a box of scones, which, thank God, were tasty.
Yeah.
There's, you know, so... And then sometimes my dad forgets one or two people, and, you know, one year it was me. So he ran to Walgreens and got me a popcorn tin. And so I opened it before dinner, and I said, I got the best Christmas present this year. We get to eat it now. So it was, you know, you just got to laugh at it. Sometimes you don't, but I don't want to do the whole present obligation thing. Because I kind of just buy things for people throughout the year.
Yeah.
And that comes from my husband. He's very much the, no one will tell me when I'm required to buy a present for someone. Not Christmas, not birthday, nothing. And since he generally doesn't buy anything anyway, I decided to kind of look at that in a positive light, going, you know what, I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for National Present Day. Because to me...
And people will get mad at you if you say that, by the way.
Yeah, I did get scolded quite a bit for wishing everyone a happy National Present Day. on Christmas, yeah. So, but that's kind of what it is, because if you're not Christian, but yet you still are kind of almost this societal pressure and you're obliged to continue to celebrate it. I mean, I'm not sure what your family did, but there still is the big, you know, there's that day. And so
yeah.
That's when all of your Christian friends are going to make sure you have a gift or stuff like that, or say, oh, you don't have anywhere to go on Christmas, come to my house. And you're like, but really, I'm okay. So it's National Present Day. It's the time when everybody saves up to do presents. So.
Aunt Hazel is wishing us a happy holiday. We love Aunt Hazel.
She is adorable.
I love her. She's just as cute as a button. And when I had her on our other show, I was having her tell me what we're up to, Scottish kilts and everything. We've got to get her on this show sometime. It'll be fun.
I agree. Okay,
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that accent. I think that the difficulty and a lot of times why the week after Christmas, leading up to New Year, that people kind of revert back to a little bit of their pre-Christian pre-Christmas nastiness.
Is the sugar withdrawal? That's one of my theories.
is that I think that there is a lot of familial pressure that we often go into circumstances and situations. I don't have this problem because I don't leave the house. But, you know, we go into these familial settings in which there's a lot of angst and upset and, you know, having happy holiday. And, you know, that when you were 4 years old, your mother, you know, drug you up the stairs by the head of your hair, or your father didn't pay attention to you while you were growing up, or you were sexually abused, or, you know, there's a whole variety of different recipes. A familial disaster that go on there, and I, you know, and this is the reason why we wanted to talk about parents right after the holidays, is because I think that that's part of what goes on, and why that there is this nastiness, because I think that they can't vent it there at the Christmas table, you know what I mean? So they begin to vent it out the next week, and then it is the flying gossip of, oh, you know, Uncle Phil bought me this, and you know, I know the reason that he bought me a vibrator was because he sexually molested me when I was 7. You know, the whole craziness.
Because if you confront people, on this day, you're the jackass.
Yeah, you're the jackass.
And you're supposed to just take it.
Yes.
And so so it does. It's you know, it smacks of all of the different family parental issues and that come up. And I have to tell you, and Storm and I talked about this earlier today. I was getting a little stressed out about doing the show because I'm dealing with it myself, too, because I made a personal decision last year that I wasn't going to I was not interested in continuing the relationship my parents want to have with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even get what they're doing. They don't even understand, and I don't know if it makes it better or worse, that they're really – it's you know, a half of a compliment than a slam. It's the, oh, we're so happy to see you. Where the hell have you been? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for, people listening, they'll say, Jackie, get over it. You know, but we all have our own, issues and our own things that are hitting us. And I have to tell you, I mean, dealing with that, the decision that I made and my parents are out of town, this weekend, this holiday season. And they don't listen to the show, so I'm not even worried about it. I've told them like 12 times I have one, and they forget completely immediately.
I don't even
remember I wrote a book.
Yeah, they don't?
No.
Oh, no wonder you have so many issues.
So, they don't remember Patty wrote a book.
No wonder you have so many issues.
Right. So getting ready for this show, even this morning when we were talking on the phone, and I had to have therapy with Patty earlier, going, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm really feeling it's like making everything bigger for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
My issues and one of my big things was that you know, I made this decision last year, and this year they're out of town, so I've kind of got a hall pass on that one. But next year when they're back in town, so am I going to stay away from the rest of my family because everyone goes to my parents' house? How am I going to deal with this? And so that is the stress that started hitting me on Christmas, is that I got a hall pass on this one and I'm having a good time, so what do I do next year? And this is how big it is that I'm already projecting myself into next Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, it's not even the rest of the holidays, because there's so much pressure on making Christmas the most wonderful day of the year. It's perfect, the perfect meal, the perfect present, the perfect outfit, the perfect children, the, you know. There was so much pressure on to make that day perfect that there's no way it can be. So it's fraught with disappointments and the whole thing. So.
And the interesting thing, if we go to your astrology chart, okay, and we just look at the fourth house cusp in the astrology chart, has to do with the early family bones that you come out of that were happening at the, you know, the energies that were at the time of your birth. And you have the same sign, because Jackie and I both have Libra rising. We both have Capricorn on the fourth house cusp. So Capricorn, Jackie, is very concerned about what people think, appropriateness, the way that we present ourselves out into the public eye. So when you add that to the family dimension, you know, that there is, you know, a sense of beating oneself up and doing what it is that we don't want to do in order to live up to the expectations of the family system. And that's something that is innate. And one of the things that I love about astrology is the fact that you can, it is the map, basically, for the innate inner energies that were there at the time of your birth that you're going to view everything in life through. Okay, so so somebody with a Capricorn on the fourth house cusp is going to view family as difficult and drudgery and you have to do what is appropriate, and you have to do what is right, and you have to do things in a way that people expect you to do them. Whereas if there was a different sign on that particular cusp, say Sagittarius even, you know, they would view the family system as fun and energetic, and you know, they would be the life of the party, and that you should be jovial and all of these other things. If you saw Libra on the fourth house cusp, you would see this very, very balanced family that's not real exciting, and things of that nature. And if you saw Aries there, you would see an extremely aggressive family that's probably arguing at the Christmas table every, you know, Christmas and all of these other things. And the thing that the chart does is it gives us a particular predisposition to what it is that we expect. And not only does it do it for our family background, Jackie, but it also, we have a print in our psyche of the way that we expect mother and father to be like. In the chart, and basically we're going to be very, very in tune to when they're acting out that role for us.
Okay, so this is what's fascinating me about astrology, is because it's like you can marry that and psychology and say get right to the crux of the matter, because you really hit the nail on the head on a lot of things with that. There was, and for myself, that familial, because we hadn't talked about this pressure part of it, that to be, you always bring something new in, so I'm like thrown off.
Well, I have to say something for the show.
Yep. So we, you know, we do that all the time. Save it for the show. Don't talk to me. So that is really interesting, because that's exactly what I do, and that's the role that I take within the family, is to make sure everybody is taken care of and stuff. So that's fascinating. I'm sure as a psychologist or a therapist, if you did astrology with the in-depth knowledge like you have, you could really just go, well, I'm looking at your chart, and the way you deal with your family is blah, blah, blah. And the way you look at your mother, you need her to be like this. And looking at your mother's chart, she can only be like this. So I can see what issue we have here.
Well, you can look at those particular issues. And the other thing here is the 10th house cusp. which is the opposite of family, so it's going to be out in the world, okay? Mm-hmm. The way that you're going to project yourself out into the world, basically what is going to happen there, you have Cancer, so do I, on that 10th house cusp, so people are going to be attracted to you and bring all their problems to you and bring all of their issues to you, and because, you know, Cancer on the 10th house cusp are like two giant breasts. You know, saying here, fuck. You know,
the
please milk
cosmic,
off of me. You know, it's
yeah.
the. you know, so basically,
I've called myself that more than once.
You know, the giant teat. And then basically, what happens is that we're automatically hardwired, Jackie. That at the moment that they start sucking too much, okay, we go back into this fourth house cusp because the program that we have is very suspicious.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, please.
No, and with it being very, very suspicious, there's just this natural, tendency here to be reserved, not trusting, and it works out in a very, very mysterious way with astrology, because you start to feel after a while, especially when you start looking at family system charts, you start to think after a while that something greater than us started handing out some scripts.
And now that, you know, I'm 42. 43, sorry, I missed a year there. Moving on to about to be 44. It's not how I live my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I do work with people in the Akashic Record, and people have that same issue, like they go to the family function and it's the same old, I call that a contract. This is the contract that you have with your parents. Of this is how they're going to treat you, and you're going to treat them. This is what you've all agreed to in the past, and you have to break it. You have to say no. I want a new contract. This is not how it's going to be anymore. And under normal circumstances, those things evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Under normal circumstances, you start breaking those when you're in, you know, when you're developing your own personality, because those are developed. So. They know how to deal with you when you first come into the world.
Yes.
And so when you first come into the world, they're going to say, you know, there's an energy that they have to work with. And they're going to work from the way they were brought up. And it's really interesting as a parent, you start to immediately default back to how you were parented.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to make some conscious efforts to change. If you want to change, I mean, and so sometimes you start really healing that, and say, oh, now I understand why I was parented in that way, because as a parent, I can see the other point of view, and so there's some healing there. Or you say, oh, I've got a different way, I've got a better way
mm-hmm.
to work with this.
Well, you see, the interesting thing astrologically that is here as well, okay, is that you do have a house in your horoscope that represents children, okay, which is the fifth house cusp. Yours has Aquarius on the fifth house. You have 19 degrees of Aquarius on your fifth house cusp. So your expectations, what it is that you're going to project onto your child, any child that comes out of your womb, okay, is going to be, you want them to be independent, you want them to be separate, you don't want them to be too emotionally attached to you, you want them to be inventive, you want them to be bright and have a lot of social grace and things along these lines. And the difficulty can be, of course, you only have one child at the moment.
don't even go there at the moment.
It's been coming up a lot lately, Jackie, so I'm just kind of...
That's because I'm about to give birth to some new project.
Yeah. but basically, you know...
I'm about
to
get some extra birth control, let me tell you.
You know, you could have a... you know, one of your... Say, for example, that you had two. You could have one that was extremely brilliant and bright and intelligent and has a lot of social grace, was very, very good in school, that they're in some form of science or technology field,
mm-hmm.
or were in politics in some way, or something that represents progress, okay? And then you could have another child that was an absolute complete psychopath. It's the same energy.
Yeah. Well, and I can see that, like, looking at my chart, or saying, even looking at my mother's chart. So she's going to, if in her chart, and I don't know what it is, but if in her chart it it says that she is going to, you know, have all those independent children, whatever. And she has dealt with things poorly in her life, that can absolutely look like abandonment.
Absolutely.
So, and for me, in my chart, like you said, with where my Uranus is and mm-hmm. a few other things, abandonment is a big issue of mine.
You have Moon conjunct Uranus. Now, the thing here is, and I didn't discuss this with you yesterday when we talked about the charts, I wanted to save this part for the show, okay? That you have the Moon conjunct Uranus, okay? But you also have the Moon, which is in opposition to Chiron, and you have the Moon that sextile Mars. Now, what this means in English, the Moon in sextile to Uranus in your 10th house is a mother that in many ways wanted to be her own person, that she wanted to be somebody, that she wanted to be special, that she didn't want to really be bound to any form of sense of obligation to any man. Okay, there's this core here that's there, okay? Interestingly enough, this is in Rebecca's chart as well. You have the Moon that is in opposition to Chiron. So I'm sure at some particular point as your mother was developing, Jackie, and when she got to, you know, between 18 and 21, she probably realized she was not, especially because at that particular point that there wasn't as many outlets for a parent basically to be a martial mother. You couldn't be aggressive and, you know, she couldn't go out and shoot up the dinosaur and bring it home. It just wasn't appropriate at that particular point. So basically, the Moon in opposition to Chiron is going to be this wound of life's unfairness for her, that she didn't get what it is that she wanted or her particular vision of life. And, of course, I don't have her horoscope in front of me, so I can't comment from her particular perspective or point of view. What I can comment on is what it is that you inherited from her. That this sense of woundedness, feeling that life is unfair, feeling that no matter what it is that you do, something is going to kind of hit you in the back of the head and tell you, you can't do that, it's probably not appropriate. And then you have that, and you combine it with that Moon Uranus, Jackie, and that's the feeling of abandonment, okay? And I think that the way out is possibly, you know, is oftentimes when we can look at this, okay, and when we start to question our parents in a way in which they're kind of not as guarded. One of the things that happens is that we will sometimes hear things. For example, if you ask your mother, and this is for anybody, I'm just saying this generically, what did you want to be when you were a child? For example, my mother wanted to be a singer. And, you know, because she had a child at 18, she wasn't able, you know, it just wasn't appropriate at that particular time, mm-hmm. In the early 70s. So basically she had to basically let go of her particular dreams in order to raise a child. And that there's a lot of angst and I'm sure a lot of regret in making those particular decisions. And Jackie, I even had a conversation with my own mother this one time that said, you know what, Mom, of course, you know, this is unheard of in that particular time. But I told her, I said, you know, Mom, if you would have got an abortion, I wouldn't have been that upset.
Well, that's an interesting turn. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, when you get to the particular,
you would have shown up at a different point, though.
Yeah.
You still,
hopefully
think,
with some better parents.
Well, there you go.
You see, I was trying to trade in my birth certificate to get a new one.
Yeah, and as you say, Storm, that's one thing we cannot do is we cannot trade in that birth certificate and look for a new one. We just still have to deal with what we were born into. And I think that this thing about this show is that, and we'll take a break in a minute, but the thing about this show is that from start to finish, every show is about, okay, so here's the circumstances. How do you make it work for you?
Exactly, and we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to introduce you all to the world of Rebecca Phoenix on the other side. Hopefully she's not listening to the show. Or she may by the time that her mother gets home. You know, but we will be talking about Jackie's chart and more about Jackie's chart, more about Rebecca's chart, a little bit about my chart, and we will introduce not only the issue of mommy, but the issue of daddy in the horoscope as well. So pick up the phone and give us a call if you would like to look at us to look at your charts. We will be taking calls in a little bit, so just hang in there on the line. I know that it can sometimes be annoying, but we have to give the material first, and then we can look at the individual cases. The number is 760-539-3235. Again, that's 760-539-3235. You're listening to Keep It Magic, sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. Don't touch that dial. Again, that's 760-539-3235. And please make sure that you check out our sponsor, CoventryCreations.com. If you have a problem in your life, regardless of what that problem may be, we have a candle for that. So, you know, cruise on over and check it out. Go armed with a platinum card or, you know, take those little nice little debit cards that you all got for Christmaka Yule. And, you know, use them at Coventry Creations. You know, we take debit gift cards. So check that out. So, Jackie, one of the things that I want to get to before we start getting a little bit further into these charts is I think that it's important for people to know. Oftentimes that they will look at a horoscope and they will say, you know, for example, if we take Rebecca's chart and you were to come to me when she was born and I started to talk about some of the themes in her chart, sometimes we can walk away from that particular experience and say, oh, my God, I've doomed my daughter, or, oh my God, you know, what has happened there? The thing here is that there's not a negative and there's not a positive in your horoscope. There is an enormous amount of potential, okay, and it's going to be what it is that you're hardwired to in regards to your particular relationships. And I think that if we can get a grip and understand what it is that we're hardwired to, for example, you know what it is that you're hardwired to in regards to your mother, that as you deal with those issues, not only are you taking responsibility for how it is that you've viewed the particular situation, the more that we become conscious of ourselves, the more that they can be who they are rather than what it is that we've projected onto them.
Absolutely, because we get to make a choice of how we want to deal with it. And I'm the cautionary tale / living proof of that. And as we all are, and anybody who comes and sees me at classes and stuff, I use myself as an example all the time. And because that's the one person I can, you know, share their secrets with. And they
we don't use me as an example because people would become suicidal.
So, you know, I've spent a lot of time going in each and every direction concerning my mother. I mean, hating her in high school because, you know, we have teenage angst and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this huge opposition with her. And then as I got out of high school, really trying to heal that relationship and work with her on things and work, you know, really, really hard on placating her and doing everything that I can just to make her happy. And that never happens. And then eventually go, well, you know, that's just who she is. And then now I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? You are a bee.
Mm-hmm.
You are not nice to me. You never have been nice to me, and I'm not going to deny it anymore. But at the same time going, you know, she's really only human, and nobody wants to be the bad guy, you know?
I think that we all have to go through a period, Jackie, of parent bashing in order to walk into that particular healing tunnel. Or, you know, if you do any work with Patty, who will be on with us next Tuesday, by the way, if you do any work with Patty, one of the things that she does is that she brings you, when you're dealing with your healing issues, she brings you to a particular door, and you go through that particular door, and it brings up whatever it is that you're dealing with at that particular moment. And I think that, you know, oftentimes, you know, it is in order to enter that door, Jackie, sometimes I think that you do have to do a bit of parent bashing.
Yeah, and I think it's natural. I know. I think it's natural because we're comparing ourselves.
It's also where we become our own individual and no longer, you know, tied to the umbilical cord. In many ways. Now we've done a lot of talking about the mother, and we're going to get to Rebecca in a minute. I think that probably, Jackie, that it's better to use me for the example with the father, because your aspects to your son, which if you want to look at the father, you need to look at your aspects to the son.
Okay.
It's probably better to use me as an example. So people, please put the razor blades in a drawer. My son makes some interesting aspects. First of all, it is conjoined with Mars, which is what is called in psychological astrology the phallic father. It's a father with an enormous amount of potency, and he has the ability to go out into the world and accomplish things and get what it is that he wants in a lot of raw, unbridled energy. Unfortunately, that son of mine is also in square to Saturn. Which, when you have the sun in Saturn, there's always this, you're going to fail, you're not going to succeed, why are you doing that, that's utterly ridiculous, you probably shouldn't be a psychic, you know, you should go to law school. You know, all of these particular self-defeating, very, very large issues of... you know, really, really just that really didn't, I think, etches on the self-esteem of the individual in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have also Sun, which is in square to Neptune. So not only is the father this very rough, brutalized figure, but he's also a father that is not really available there for you in many ways. And a lot of, because I don't talk about things a lot of the times, Jackie, a lot of people, you know, don't know that, you know, my birth father is not the father that married, or the father that married me. Oh, good God. raised me.
Yeah.
You know, so in many ways, that Neptune is that thirst and that hunger for a father image, Jackie, that is never going to be there. And then you have this other ogre, you know, that's on the other side of the that's on the other side of the chart also, that is kind of beating up on you. So what happens with a child that is that has that particular type of imagery, okay, is they're always seeking that perfect situation out there that's going to kind of make everything perfect and make everything right. Because to look at that particular dark side of the father figure with the sun in square to Saturn can be very, very much overbearing for them. One of the things about the father figure as well is that naturally, no matter, you know, I could have had Bill Cosby as a stepfather, the perfect stepfather, okay? You know, Cliff Huxtable. I would have still tuned into the very critical, negative, you have to be perfect, and that's the way I would interpret that.
Interesting.
And there would still be the longing for the birth father, the longing from where it is that you came from, regardless. So we're naturally going to tune into our parents the way that they are in the horoscope. Now, as an adult and as you grow up, you know, say for example, I was actually to go get a mundane job, or you know, that I made the choices that I didn't make. Say for example, I was working as a clerk at the candle wick shop, and you know, basically, and whenever you came in, Jackie, being the boss, I'd be like, you know what, she's always undermining me, no matter what it is that I do, you know, it's never perfect enough for her. And you could just be coming in and saying, hi, how are you doing today? Oh, isn't this counter lovely? Or could you just sat over there? And I would interpret it in this negative sort of way in this other context, okay? The creative way would be to look at that and to say, you know what, you probably shouldn't be an employee. You may want to be an employer.
Right.
Or do something on your own. So there are creative ways to work through it.
True. That is true, because it's kind of what I did. I decided I wasn't going to go for any one person's approval. I'm just going to go for the whole universe's approval. But
that's a dangerous road to walk down. Go ahead.
listening to that and your description within the father figure, and that when you're talking about the father with Saturn, your son squaring Saturn?
The son squaring Saturn is going to be a particular imagery that I'm going to tap into in regards to father.
What's interesting is that when you were talking, the way I love comparing like astrological, what's going on in the charts with what I do, the healing work I do in the Akashic Records. What I see with that is there's the potential of the father figure that's raising you to control you by trying to put his mask or his soul parts within you, trying
uh-huh.
to override your destiny with his what he feels that you should be,
uh-huh.
and just kind of wrap you up with different soul parts and hooks and drains, and really trying to make you a puppet with his face on it.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I have seen in the work that I do. So that's I find it so fascinating how the different languages work together.
Yeah, I think that it's really fascinating as well, because it gives you, if you go into an astrologer and they have their chart, you know, your chart in front of them, oftentimes what it is that you can do, and say, for example, their issue is about relationships, for example. Say, for example, I was to walk into myself with a relationship issue, okay? Because of the fact that I'm gay, okay, there's going to be me tuning into the masculine components of the chart in regards to who it is that I seek out of seek out in relationships. So therefore, with that sun in square to Saturn, you know, I'm going to have to sit and talk to the individual about, you know, you're going to have relationships in which you don't feel so beat up on, and you don't feel like you're in a dream world looking for the perfect relationship.
I would absolutely look for, with my aspects with my mother, I looked for somebody who adores me. That's really it. That was the rules. You have to adore me.
Well, it's pretty interesting in your chart, because when I look at your relationship planets, okay, it tells two different things, okay? Here is one of the big, huge, gigantic secrets that I will let people know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting there, Jackie, and prepared? Because I never said this to you.
Mm.
It's usually the parent that you don't think that you have a problem with. Is the one that you have the problem with. So interestingly, in your chart, okay, you have the fourth house as the father, okay? You have the ruler of the fourth house, which is Saturn, is in your seventh house, okay? Interestingly enough, you've had two relationships, major. Marital relationships. The first one, I feel, based on, you know, my limited knowledge and being a little arrogant, how else do you describe it? You know, the first one, I think, showed the negative connotations in regards to the Saturnian imagery, you know, the destructive relationship, the overpowering, domineering husband. And it feels as though to me that your second marriage, although that they may even have similar, because I don't think that you necessarily get involved with different people. I think you get involved with different masks, and depending upon your own evolution, it will tell whether or not that the person is a little bit more evolved. So basically, you know, what I see in your relationship with Tony, of course, you know, with the little bit that I know and my own arrogance, I see more of the positive sides of Saturn, which is always there for you, always dependable, always you can rely upon them in many ways, okay? And because you don't have a negative aspect between Saturn and your relationship planet, which is Mars, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to get along with this just fine, okay? It's going, you know, your relationships are something that you can definitely run towards. With me, I have Chiron in the seventh house. Chiron in the seventh house, honey, is just like, no matter what, it's going to be screwed.
Life is
just completely unfair.
Sometimes I think, though, what we talked about Chiron is that you find the fairness. You find the way to make it same.
Well, it gives me the ability for me to, with Chiron in the seventh, and it being in a relationship house, not only is it, you know, that there's a sense of life's unfairness in my own relationships, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I have, you know, my major partner died in a car crash when I was young. But, you know, so there is a sense of life's unfairness. But at the same time, Jackie, I can counsel anybody about their relationships, period. And I'm not afraid to tell them, you know, cut it off, move on. Can I have my boyfriend back? No, you can have a co.
Or say yes, stick it out, and stop being crazy. So now with the father aspect, do you feel that I'm just curious? Do you feel that we, if you're a woman, you end up marrying your father in a way, or it reflects the challenges you have your father? And if you're a man, you marry someone who has the challenges you have with your mother?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think that the horoscope reflects. For example, you have the sun in Virgo. There is a predisposition to what men are going to mean for you. And because of the fact that your first relationship with father, your first relationship with men is, of course, through your father, okay? Mm-hmm. That is that particular experience that you have with him will either help your relationships or poison your relationships in the future. If you had a difficult relationship with your father, your relationship with men will be very, very difficult in many ways. Or conversely, if you were in a situation in which you were daddy's little girl and you were perfect and you're still 12, okay, but your birth certificate now says that you're, you know, 43, and you're still looking for, you know, the father that wants to bounce you on your lap, projecting that particular imagery now upon your mate can be very, very difficult and very frustrating because he wants a 43-year-old woman, not a 12-year-old.
Right.
But, you know, there is going to be the coloration there, Jackie, upon that. With a man, it is going to be very, very similar. It's going to be his relationship to his mother, which is going to be the significant relationship that he's going to build all of his future relationships with in his life. And say, for example, you have the moon in Scorpio, and he was born in 1986, okay, and he has the moon conjunct Pluto in Scorpio. You know, this is a mother that was very emotionally needy, influenced an enormous amount of power over the child, probably in many ways, Jackie, prevented the child from growing up and moving past her womb, okay, in many ways. So when he gets to be 25, 26, and he meets a girl, okay, at first she may be the best thing since sliced bread and wonderful and everything's hunky-dory. 2 years into the marriage, okay, slowly the snakes of the Medusa start cropping up because that's what we're going to be in tune to.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so there's a you know, I kind of go back to that, and I'm not sure how the chart progresses, is that there is a natural evolution of the person that says, well, you know, earlier on, this is the type of person I'm going to be drawn to, and then later on in life, you're not drawn to that kind of person anymore.
I think that you're still drawn to the same person. You're just drawn to the more positive dimensions of the planet.
Okay. So if that person doesn't grow up too?
I don't think that necessarily the other person that you're involved with necessarily matters.
So you think it's just all about you?
I think that everything is really all about us. Which I know you love that answer, by the way.
Because you're the only person you can change.
Yeah, because we're the only person that we can change, okay? What I think does happen is I think that relationships are like a mathematical equation, okay? If you change one side of you, okay, one side of the relationship, okay, you subtract 7 from it, okay? You also have to subtract 7 from the other side of the equation as well. So you have to, in order for it to stay balanced. So if you grow, one of two things are going to happen. Either your partner is going to grow, or you're going to end up finding a different partner.
It's true. It is true. And it is ends up being about you in the long run, because you could grow and your partner never does anything, and so then you make a choice. I continue to grow, or I regress.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you talk a lot about this aspect, squaring, trining,
sure,
opposing this and that with astrology. And if you're not familiar with astrology, you can feel completely lost in this conversation. So just kind of bringing us back around,
sure,
what we've been talking about is that there's some things that are hardwired,
uh-huh,
when you're born, of how you're going to deal with your parents. And again, let's get back to the reality of your parental issues with your parents are yours.
Uh-huh.
And they are who they are, and you can't change them. And they're dealing with they're a human being dealing with their own aspects. And I have to tell you, I have a hard time with this in my own life, looking at my parents as human beings with their own issues and worries and all that other stuff. So where I have to get to is going, okay, I can't continue to put you in this mythological role of mother, mm-hmm, and father, because it kind of is, if you,
yes,
think about it.
They're gods.
Yeah. and they've let you down. They will let you down.
And even the gods let their children down. It's not that much of a difference, you know. If you look at with Zeus and Hera, they had a child named Hephaestus, who was not perfect. In fact, you know, he was hairy and beasty, and you know, probably had body odor and stuff like that. Zeus was so disgusted by him, Jackie, that he just knocked him off to of Olympus. And, you know, broke his legs and all of this other stuff. So even the gods are not necessarily fair.
No. No, actually, I think they're more unfair than human beings, but because I think they're petulant children that never had to take responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah.
Which I think that's why they're used as cautionary tales. But, and which is why the monotheistic god was so appealing, because that monotheistic god was not a petulant god. It was one that was going to watch out for you.
Well, he was also a god of fire and brimstone. There was one way or the other. It wasn't, you know, he didn't, there weren't as many options with him. There were options with Aphrodite. Mm-hmm. There were options with even Hera. There were options with Demeter. There were options with Zeus.
But I think more converts happened,
yeah,
because Jesus was came with the loving God.
Yes. Yes.
And that God wants you to be happy.
Except when he's hanging up out there on the cross and he says, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?"
Right, which is very conflicting messages, which,
yes,
is exactly what parents do.
Yeah, it's a very conflicting message, and you're attuned to a particular energy or a particular archetype that is residing within that particular parent. You're projecting it upon them in many ways. Now, here is the deal. They may have been a total horrible creature, an ogre, okay, but still, what it is that you're attuned to is that difficulty, which is where if I was to sit down with Patty and talk about, you know, put both of you in different rooms and just start, you know, working with you both for an hour about your mothers, I would probably, you know, when I went and looked at the notes, I would say, you know what, they were raised by two different women.
It's funny because we say that all the time, which, you know, you were raised in a different family than I was. And we all laugh that we all were raised in different families. But it's true, because we all have our own individual and independent relationships,
yeah,
with our parents. And this is why this show was really getting to me before we even got on it. I mean, I because it's the we all go through this. We all, I mean, you've been going through it a lot lately,
uh-huh,
too. We've been sharing a lot of this. Is that and I do think there's a layer that comes in your 40s,
uh-huh,
because you're starting to really feel your own mortality. So that you know, that it's like, what do I do with this? Where do you take this? And what I look at when I'm working with people, and when I'm doing my own inner work, is I have to look at, what did I agree to?
Yeah.
And how do I change it?
There's positive dimensions of every single planet. You have a moon Uranus, which makes you very, very attuned to feeling abandoned and a very erratic energy around the mother. It's also the planet that makes you extremely bright, progressive, innovative. You like things that are different. You know, so you don't get one without the other. It's just, you know, in many ways, you know, people will come to me and they'll say, "Oh my God, you know, yesterday my boyfriend and I were having this horrible fight and argument, and it ended up in this knockout, drag out, and then we had mad sex afterwards." You don't get this extreme amount of passion without the knockout, drag out. It just doesn't happen. You know, so basically, you know, we're going, you know, we can either choose to deal with it in a constructive way, okay, or we can still be controlled by the particular planets, okay, and this is where I think that everybody should be knowledgeable about their horoscope, because it gives them an understanding of what the energies that they have to work with. And if you have to work with a red color rather than a green color, how do you make the most of the red color?
Well, so many times I talk to people who start to learn their own astrology, and they say, "I'm just this way." I'm just this way because I was this in the past.
That's an excuse.
I'm just this way because my astrology says so. And that's exactly what I say. I say, uh-uh. This is a roadmap to show you where your pitfalls may be.
Yeah, exactly. We have to take a break. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We will be doing looking at your astrology charts and answering your question after the break. The number is 760-539-3235. Again, that's 760-539-3235. Do not touch that dial. The show, of course, is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. We'll be back in a flash. Currently 3 minutes after the hour of 5. cruise on over to CoventryCreations.com, and we have a bazillion candles over there that you can, you know, use your little Christmas debit cards on. We will be more than glad to help you and assist you over at CoventryCreations.com with creating any form of magical situation that you need in your life. So whether or not that you need a new relationship, you need a new job, you need to work on parental issues, you name it, we have candles for it. So cruise on over there and check that out. And you can also schedule yourself a reading with the glamorous Jackie Smith, also known as Kangaroo Babe, over there at CoventryCreations.com as well. To check me out, of course, go to PsychicFriendsNow.com. And you can, you know, schedule a reading with me, too, if you want to.
It was an MW.
Yeah, the Morbid Wizard. I'm the Morbid Wizard. So clues on over there. I would like to prefer, if I'm going to be morbid, that I could be like the next Jigsaw from the Saw movie.
No.
No, that probably wouldn't work. I'm too nice for Jigsaw.
No, there's too much dirt.
Yeah, that's true. And that blood, and I would have to clean and have to put up those No, no, no. He can have Coke. it's just too much. Now, one of the things before we get to the phones here real quick, 773, we see you, as well as 248. Jackie, one of the things that I want to talk about real fast is that I do have Rebecca's chart in front of me as well.
Okay, you made me cry? Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
The thing with Rebecca has her moon in Aquarius, and she also has a moon Uranus conjunction. Okay, now one of the things as a parent, okay, knowing this, okay, knowing that your daughter is going to be very, very attuned to whenever you're being erratic, whenever she feels that you're not available to her, you know, you can schedule something, you know, time with her from 7 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, okay? And then you need to do something between 2 and 3:30, and then you'll be back with her for 3:30 until the rest of the night. What she will notice in her head is at 90 minutes that you're not available to her.
Right. You are correct. You are correct.
So basically noticing that, there's particular ways that you can begin to do things that will help to build more of a foundation that she's actually looking for because she's a Capricorn.
You know, and you told me that yesterday. And so this morning I had a conversation with her after the dentist, which was she said something, and I saw it as an opportunity, and we're just chatting. I said, kind of a lenient mom, aren't I? You know, yeah, that's so we don't argue so much. I said, no, I think it's because you have a good head on your shoulders, and I know that you are going to make some great choices, and you need to build your own structure. And so I'm going to guide you in that instead of trying to force you into mine. And then I left it alone, and then I started eating my soup.
Interestingly, with your chart, Jackie, and it's just something that I'm going to throw out there that you can meditate on, if we progress Rebecca's moon backwards to the Uranus, where it's an exact conjunction,
mm-hmm.
For example, if I was to progress your moon back, it goes back 9 degrees or 9 months. At the time that your mother found out that she was pregnant, she may have been questioning whether or not she actually wanted another child.
Oh, absolutely. I thought she was done, yes.
And that's that new Uranus energy.
I was always reminded of that.
What I would like to know about you is what was going on in your 6 month of pregnancy with Rebecca.
I didn't think I'd ever have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because I had two other instances probably in the 5 months prior to that where there was a potential of, am I pregnant or am I not pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that going on, and then the other thing going on during that time is I was getting rid of another layer of crazy in my life of people who are working for me, and all of that was starting to come out throughout the entire pregnancy.
So you see, what Rebecca is tuned into is that energy innately that was going on in your 6 month of your pregnancy. So oftentimes, mm-hmm. going back and working through that, and figuring out what that is, okay, and how through your bloodstream you are feeding that to her, Jackie, is a great way for you to work out the energy with Rebecca as well. I'm not as concerned about Rebecca. She has a lot of positive aspects to her moon as well,
mm-hmm.
But she is going to notice the particular moments when you're not available.
Yes, yes.
And how did you work with that in a creative way?
I was sick as a dog throughout the whole pregnancy, so I blame her.
Yeah. So, now that we have resolved all Jackie's parental problems and Rebecca's and everything else, we can go to the phones here. Which one do you want to do first?
Let's go 248. I'm curious. That's my backyard, so I'm wondering who is calling me.
Okay, let's see. 248, you're on the air. 248.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Yvette.
Hello, Miss Yvette. I had a feeling
all
it
right.
was you. Do you have your astrological chart out, my friend?
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at them. Where's my reading glasses? Here we go. All right, what you want?
All right, here real quick. Give me your date of birth.
4/18/65.
And do you know what time you were born?
12:35 a.m.
And where were you born?
Detroit.
Ugh, the moon in Scorpio.
Conjunct. You're not supposed to start a reading with, ugh.
Conjunct Neptune. Well, this is, here is the difficulty with this event. There was a very, very intensive energy in your mother that started, first of all, it is showing me here that there was an issue probably around her third month of pregnancy. It's also showing me here that your mother, in many ways, was what we call in the psychological field a devouring mother. In other words, she attempted to control, and that there's a lot of manipulative energy around her and a lot of dark impulses, which you would be very, very attuned to throughout the particular relationship. Did she kind of martyr herself?
Yes.
Because I'm seeing a very large victim martyr type of energy around her. That she feels very victimized by life, like people didn't love her, and if only she wasn't, she wasn't continuously hurt by people, and things of this particular energy. You're going to be very, very attuned in that situation, Yvette, to those particular impulses that are coming out of her, okay? Which, in many ways, because of the fact that you're an Aries, okay, it's going to make you feel very, very constricted.
Yes, I agree.
So you know, on that particular note, okay, now, what is the problem here with your father?
What do you mean, what is the problem?
Okay, because they're showing me a lack of aspects with the father. Whenever I see a lack of aspects, it usually reflects that it's usually more the mother that has had the ultra-profound effect upon the child, not the father.
Now, and my father just removes himself from the situation. My father still to this day says, your mother's just crazy, have her committed.
When so. When did he remove himself from the situation?
When I was 16.
Okay, so you see, this is very, very interesting because here is the thing that you have to be very, very careful of, Yvette, is projecting that same particular imagery of men never coming in any sense of the word in regards to your own relationships. You know, you have... And the reason I say this is that the moon is the ruler of your seventh house, okay? The moon is also the mother figure, okay? So you're going to have to make sure that you don't fall into relationship patterns in which there could be difficulties, and this could be relationship patterns with anybody, okay, in which you attract mm-hmm. that Medusa again, you know, that, because the issue with your mother is I get the feeling as though that there's a lot of issues in regards to abandonment and suffering and feeling as though that she's a victim and everybody has done all these things to her in this martyring mm-hmm. image, and your father hasn't helped the matter any by running.
Exactly. She still says that stuff. That's why we don't talk. We talk, I think, once every 3 months or so for about five minutes. That's all I can stand. But, yeah, that's why she still says that.
There's an interesting fairy tale that I would like you to read, but I want you to get an original copy of it, which you can probably get on the Kindle or on Amazon for free. Really look at Snow White in depth.
Snow White, really?
The original version.
Snow White, yeah.
Is that
mirror
the Wicked
on the
Stepmother
wall.
One? No, that's not the Wicked Stepmother. That's the mirror.
It is the Wicked Stepmother, but in many ways you can also view the Wicked Stepmother as the mother, okay? It's mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, and the daughter always wins.
You know what's interesting, just to interject, as I'm tuning into Yvette and the Akashic Records and stuff, what I see is I keep seeing your mother's form in front of you, and where you're trying to live your life, but yet you feel like you have to live it through her form. So it kind of defines you. It defines a lot of decisions of yours.
Probably I can see that simply because from the time I left home at 17, my constant thing is I cannot be like my mother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's still defining you. And in looking at the Snow White fairy tale, and since your mother's trying to, like, inject herself into you, so she is immortal, and she has to be stronger than you in her own head, as you go through that, look at breaking that mirror and stepping through it so she's not walking in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
She's not coloring everything that you see.
Absolutely.
So,
cool.
And the reason with the Snow White myth, Yvette, is that if you think about the particular story, the evil queen transforms herself into an old woman and brings an apple to Snow White, and she eats the apple and, of course, falls asleep. How you can interpret that is that she's kept in a perpetual state of childhood, okay, that she can't get out of, okay, and oftentimes, the difficulty with, and this is why it's honor thy mother and father with reservations, okay, the more that you propel against your mother, the more that energy will creep up into you, because it's your moon in Scorpio, it is your moon conjunct Neptune, okay, so what you have to be very, very careful of is that you don't wake up at 53, okay, and look into the mirror and say, oh, good God, you know, or you're not looking into the mirror and saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, and now you're the mother.
Right.
You know, so it's needing to really be cognizant of the particular power that we have over children, and the particular way that, you know, the way that we develop them out is very, very powerful for us and for them as well. And you're more highly attuned to that than most people. I would also suggest that you take every copy of Cosmopolitan magazine or Bride and throw it out the window. It's never going to work for you.
I think Jackie knows me well enough to know that is not me.
Right.
Not even close.
Now, Jackie, what would, you know, knowing this particular issue with Yvette, what would be your candle recommendation?
An uncrossing of female energies, and a needed change.
A needed change.
Yep, the banishing candle with the uncrossing and the female energies, and really just send the soul parts of your mother packing. Because they're all through your aura, and that's that whole mask that you're looking through her. And just to work on sending that packing, or really seeing it and then sending it packing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a struggle. I mean, even even her relationship with my son. So you know what I'm saying? That's what it is. He won't even talk to her. I think he spoke to her in about 3 years.
I completely understand. I came to a big realization about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that I would never choose to have a relationship with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like her, and I would never choose to be around her. And so that was a big awakening for myself. She's, you know, wow, I don't let anyone else in my life treat me like this. Why do I keep going back for more? Because she's my mom? This
exactly.
is stupid. And, and so I have way more control over my life than that. And then that's when I started seeing how much of what I saw was colored through her eyes. Even critiquing people that I see was all my, I could hear it in my mother's voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that.
And you see the other interesting thing, Yvette, that you have that can help you out a lot, okay, is that Ceres, dwarf planet Ceres in our horoscope is going to be how we feed ourselves, how we nurture ourselves. And your dwarf planet Ceres is in the sign of Pisces. Okay, so basically the way that you can break free from a lot of things in your life is turning to your spirituality, turning to your sense of yourself, connecting in a much more larger way than what we do in our normal little mundane world.
Yep. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I get that. That is beautiful.
Yvette, thank you so
yes,
much
ma'am.
For calling, my friend, and listening today. I'm excited to see you soon.
Most definitely, darling.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Yvette. Now, here is the other interesting thing for you, Jackie, is that your dwarf planet Ceres is in the sign of Scorpio. And the way out for you in many things is transformation.
Okay.
You know, whereas, let me find Rebecca's here real fast. Hers is in Capricorn. The way out for her is always building some form of foundation that's her own.
That's my, oh, my God, she's so that. She's
yeah.
my kid, my Capricorn kid. Do we have time for a drive-by?
Yeah, we have time for a drive-by.
Okay, so let's hit 773.
773, you're on the air?
Yes, hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tempest.
Hi, Tempest, what can we help you with?
Just wanted you guys to just do what you do. My birthday is
January
15th.
We don't do that during a drive-by. Give me a question.
What about relationship then? I'm currently in a relationship, but in the same sense, I have a choice between three guys right now. And I'm confused. And
you're really not confused. You're really not confused. You're greedy. Okay. You're looking at there's one that you feel that connection to, but you know what? You don't feel enough of a connection to any one of them. And so you're trying to make them all into one big guy, one relationship, and it's not going to work that way. But you're the right one's not going to come along because your energy feels full. There's no room for him to come along because you got these three that you're juggling, and you don't like not one of them is the one. They're all pieces of the one, and so you settle. You tend to settle, and then get stuck.
My feeling here in regards to this, Jackie, is that oftentimes whenever I see somebody that's beginning to attract multiples to them, and this is just, after doing this for over 20 years, that I've seen this over and over, oftentimes that what it is, Tempest, what it is here is that you're not really, really clear about what it is that you're looking for in regards to relationship, okay? So you're sending all these impulses out to the universe in regards to what it is that you're looking for and what it is that you want, and basically the universe is sending you a buffet bar, okay, rather than a single individual, okay? My feeling here, I pulled the Three of Swords for you, okay?
Oh, that's fine.
My feeling here is that it looks as though to me, that there's a lot of unhappiness in all these situations at the moment, that they're not really pulling the trigger for you, okay? And it looks as if to me the one that you feel the energy closest to, okay? I just don't feel as though that situation is really going to work out for you in the way that you want it to. So the best thing for you to do, Tempest, here is just really sit down and get very, very clear about what it is that you want and which direction it is that you want to go in, and kind of start petitioning, whether that be by cutting up little magazine pieces or, whatever it is that you want out of relationship, and starting to put that in kind of like a relationship journal or something, and start reading that every day for about 5 minutes, okay, in regards to becoming very clear about the energy that you want. And I think that will help you out. I would also suggest, magically, Jackie, I would suggest, all from the Blessed Herbal line, actually, Spellbreaker, the Love and Attraction Candle, and the Need to Change Banishing Candle.
And I'm going to add to that. I'm going to want you to do two different things. I want you to write a list of what you don't want in a person. And put that to the side. And then I want you to write a list of what you do want in a person. And it could be that, he's got deep chocolate eyes, and he talks with a southern accent. It could, whatever you want it to be. Put it on there, but also whatever you do not want, put that on the other list. The list that you do not want, I want you to put some vinegar on it, fold it up, put it under the Need to Change Banishing Candle. And then after it's been under there for a day, burn it. They're going to go away. The ones that have those attributes are going to go away. Then you take that list that you do want, and you're going to dribble honey on it. And you're going to fold that up, and you're going to put it under the Attraction Love Candle, and you're going to leave that there. And you're going to take a little bit of that honey and rub it on the candle too. And then that's going to help quite a bit. So you're going to get rid of the ones that don't work for you, that have those aspects you don't like. They're just going to go away, and it's not going to be a problem. And then you'll start pulling the one in that you like.
And thank you for calling in, Tempest. We appreciate it, and we helped you out with your problem. Jackie, what's coming up on Kim?
Next week, which is also next month, which is also next year.
Yeah.
we are interviewing, actually more specifically, Storm is interviewing the amazing, the healing, the wondrous, I can't even say enough about her, my wonder twin, Patty Shaw.
Yay!
Patty is launching the Healer's Almanac. She's doing a relaunch on her book, and she has on January 5th, so January 3rd, we're going to be interviewing her. So on January 5th, if you go on Amazon and order her book, you get a whole bunch of free gifts from her. So I can't wait to hear her talk about her book in this new way, because she's had a couple years to really work with it with clients, and she has a whole new take on it, and it's just so powerful. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, amazing. And also, all of next month, except the interview with Patty, is that Dorothy Morrison month?
No, February is Dorothy Morrison
okay.
month. The other thing that's happening starting next month is we're gearing up to Coventry's 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing, we'll be doing a bunch of stuff. So that's a very exciting time for me. 2012, it's getting towards the holidays, that is our 20th anniversary. So it's super, super exciting. Now, we will have Dorothy on in January, and then we'll have her on every week in February, and then we're going to have Lorian on in January as well. We're going to do the last week in January, we're going to do Get Rid of Your Debt, talk about that. So yeah.
So next month is going to be all about health and prosperity and all of this wonderful kind of stuff, and then of course in February we're going to be talking about love.
Love. So it's going to be, we have some good shows. We're going to pick the harder topics. We're going to look at how it really affects us and wrap ourselves around it. And I got to say, Storm, my big takeaway today
what?
Is is that how I interact with my parents is my challenge. They're just human beings living in their own lives.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to find my healing.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's a big, pretty big takeaway.
It is a pretty big takeaway.
Dad, my kid's all on her own.
Mine is, your parents are how you got here. They're not how you have to choose to live your life.
Oh, I like that one even more.
You know, so it is amazing. Are at the end of the show, everybody. Make sure that you cruise on over to CoventryCreations.com and check out our sponsor over there. And make sure that you go to KeepItMagic.com and look at all the wonderful articles and prevention of obstacles in regards to your life that we have over there in the archives of the show, or you can download the show, of course, on iTunes. So, everybody, until next week, Jackie and I, of course, will be back next week with more of Keep It Magic. Make sure that you in on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And Jackie, what do they need to do?
They need to keep it magic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Have a nice evening.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Danny Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out. When I walk in the spot, yeah, this is what I see. Okay. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
Sexy and I know it.